Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, thy strength and thy redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When you were a child, how many times did you ask your parents, "Mom, Dad, could you please give me just a few more rules to follow?" Exactly. No child ever asked that of his parents. But how often did you try to delay your bedtime by begging your parents to read you just one more story? We love stories. And around this time of year, when we gather with loved ones, with family members, we often tell stories. Parents tell stories to their children. Grandparents retell stories from their youth, passing along memories to the next generation. Stories play an important role in what it means to be human. They help us learn who we are, where we come from, and where we are going. Dan McAdams, a professor of psychology at Northwestern University who studies stories, says stories help us make sense and meaning of our life. They reconstruct the past and anticipate an imagined future. They explain how we came to be and where our life might be going. Stories also shape how we live in the present. As the Catholic philosopher Alistair MacIntyre put it, "I can only answer the question, what am I to do, if I can first answer the prior question of what story am I a part of?" Christians are a people with a story. A beautiful, wonderful story embodied in the scriptures, which tell of God's creation of the world and his love of the world. It tells us how we are to make sense of things like evil, sorrow, pain, suffering, and even death. And of course, it tells us of God's wonderful and loving plan to redeem humanity and restore the creation. In our lesson from Galatians chapter 3 and 4, Paul tells the church in Galatia, this young little church, that they are part of this story. A story that stretches back into the Hebrew scriptures, back to Moses and Abraham, and back to creation itself. But you see, there is a problem. In this church in Galatia, there were some folks who were teaching these new Christians, these young Christians, that in order to be a real Christian, a genuine follower of Jesus, they also needed to practice Old Testament laws. Things like circumcision, not eating certain foods, keeping the tradition. But Paul is going to challenge all of this. And to do so, he makes it really simple for his readers and simple for us. He divides the biblical story into two parts. There is before Christ, which we might think of as the entire Old Testament period, summarized as the law. And there is the period after the arrival of Christ, the Messiah, who has come to usher in a new reality. Before the arrival of Christ, God gave the Jewish people the law, which was basically the moral teachings like the Ten Commandments, but also contained ceremonial laws about how to worship God properly at the temple, temple sacrifices, for instance. And the law served at least three purposes. First, the law was given to reveal sin. You might remember that St. Paul says in Romans chapter 7 that he would not know what sin was apart from the law. Second, the law condemns us when we don't measure up to it. So Paul will say in Romans chapter 2, those who obey the law will be declared righteous. Of course, there's a problem with that, is there not? We know that no one can keep the law perfectly. We all fall short of the standards of the law. So in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul writes, "We know that a person is not justified by works of the law." And third, the law provides instruction for righteous living. Paul says that the law acted as a disciplinarian in verse 24 from our lesson this evening. Now, to get technical just for a bit, the Greek word that is used that we translate into the word disciplinarian is the word pedagogue. And some translations render this as a guardian or a tutor, or as the New Testament professor N.T. Wright renders it, a babysitter. You see, during Paul's day, it was common for wealthy and Greek and Roman families to have a pedagogue or a babysitter who would look after their children, take them to school, make sure that they were well fed, and that they didn't get into trouble. So understood in this way, we might think of the law prior to the coming of Christ as sort of a Mary Poppins and no-nonsense yet delightful nanny to young children, part teacher, part parent, and part strict disciplinarian. Paul's point being that God gave the law to act as a babysitter for his people during the period of their childhood or until the time when God would finally intervene into history by sending his son, the Messiah. But the main thing that Paul wants us to understand about the law is that it was temporary. It served a certain purpose in a certain period of time in history. That is, until faith would be revealed, as we read in verse 24, or until Christ, the Messiah, would come, verse 25. And because of this, Paul will say that after the coming of the Messiah, after the coming of the Christ, that we are no longer subject to the law. And that's because Christ has ushered in a new era, a new age of grace. To put it in cinematic terms, you might think of the law as a prequel to the sequel, which is the gospel. Now, you might disagree with me, but I think in most cases, movie prequels are often better than their sequels. You can judge for yourself here. I admit that I did stack the deck a little bit in picking these movies, but here it goes. We had Dumb and Dumber, and then there was Dumb and Dumberer 2. There was Grease with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, and then there was Grease 2. There was Caddyshack, and then there was Caddyshack 2, minus Rodney Dangerfield and Bill Murray. Now, I think we all can agree that the prequels were all better than the sequels. But in some cases, movie sequels are better than the original. They're better than the prequel. Francis Ford Coppola's The Godfather 2 is considered by most movie critics to be better than Godfather 1, better than the prequel. Or take The Empire Strikes Back, George Lucas's second Star Wars movie. It is considered by most Star Wars fans to be the best Star Wars movie in the entire franchise. And if you want to debate that, we can talk after the service. Well, this is the case with the biblical story. The sequel is far better than the prequel, because in the sequel, we receive the gift of Christmas, the long-awaited Messiah, God's only Son, the one whom God had sent to put the world to rights, who redeems us from the law, who adopts us into his family, and makes us heirs of his kingdom. As we head into a new year, and in fact, an entire new decade, the 2020s, we have a chance to begin anew, to start afresh, to live in to God's story, leaving our old story behind and with it our frustrations, our sorrows, our anxiety, and our self-pity. That's because in Christ, we are adopted as royal sons and daughters. and made participants, characters of his divine drama. If you've seen the movie The Lion King, either the cartoon that came out in the 90s or the later release that came out earlier this year, you might remember this scene where Simba, the young lion, is being challenged to go back home and be the king that he was born to be. Simba, you see, had run from his destiny. The struggle in confronting his mean Uncle Scar was just too difficult for him, so he ran away. But in that memorable scene that represents a turning point in Simba's life, he looks into this pool of water and he sees the reflection of his father Mufasa, the king. And Mufasa says to young Simba, "You have forgotten who you are. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. Remember who you are." And that is Paul's message to us as we end one year and we begin another. To remember who we are. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, you are more than you think you are. Your story is part of God's story. Now go and live into the story and be the person that God is calling you to be. Amen.